As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Then, another king, who knew nothing about Joseph, became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for in his parents' home. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being ill-treated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue him, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was ill-treating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who had appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt and the Red Sea for 40 years in the desert. This is that Moses who told the Israelites, "God will send you a prophet like me from your own people." That is the reading.
Thank you, Esther. That was brilliant. Just going to pray for... I should have prayed for Esther for that one as well. I've got nothing to say. Lord, we just we thank you for that reading from Scripture and for Esther who read it for us. And we pray that you write that on our hearts as your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. And we pray that you would bless Andrew as he speaks to us and speak through him. We thank you for his gifts of leadership here and for the way that your spirit works through him. We pray that you would speak now to our hearts, our minds, our wills, that we may bring you glory and we may know you better. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Just do my usual and move it around a little bit. I'm sorry, Esther, but it was either that or the first 15 chapters of Exodus. So I thought, I was trying to find a short way of doing it, and I got tired of trying to take bits out, so I thought, no, there's a better place. That's when Stephen is talking to the Sanhedrin. But it actually fits really well with our big story, doesn't it? In the sense that that whole big picture. And it was either that or I was going to have to get you to watch Prince of Egypt. We could sit down with ice cream and chocolate mousse and we could be, I could have just sat down. It'd be good, wouldn't it? But it fits really well with our big picture in that Stephen uses the big story of God to try to persuade the Sanhedrin that God is actually alive and living. He's not in a building. He's not in the traditions and he's not in all those things, but God is actually alive and living and in the room, which is kind of what we've been talking about for the last I don't know how long. But it's a great story. And this part of the story is all about how God comes as deliverer. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to look through that when you need to be delivered, there's always a predicament that you're in that you need to be liberated from. There's a promise of deliverance. There's a pathway of deliverance. God prevails, and then there's praise. Did you see what I did there? That's pretty good for me. All the P words. But anyway, so we're just going to go through those things, and then we're going to kind of try to relate it to how who we are and what that looks like. So we've got the story. And if you've been around church for any length of time, you've probably heard it a number of times. And we've heard it again this morning. Thank you, Esther. And so it's around God being, delivering his people in the ultimate of the Red Sea experience. But what was their predicament? So the predicament was that they were in huge, the people of Israel. So remember, Jacob got his name changed to Israel. And so now they became the Israelites. Basically, Jacob's people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So it follows down the line. And so the Israelites are in a place, and they were being oppressed by Egypt. Remember, we heard a few weeks ago how they sold their stock and they sold their land, and they ended up selling themselves into slavery so they could get food during the famine. Well, that time's all gone, and when Joseph was there and he was helping out, and there's a new king in town, and he's forgotten, they don't know about this. It's almost like a whole generation. All those people have died out. And he got fearful around the whole people of Israel going, hey, what's going on? They just keep multiplying. They're going to take over us. They're going to fight against us. And fear lived in them. And so we have this predicament that the people of Israel are in. God called them. We heard last week how God sought out a people. And so this people were now under oppression. And so the Egyptians, because of their fear, they added taskmasters, and they added more work they had to do. So they oppressed them. They tried to silence them. They tried to, there was abuse. They tried to kill the sons. So they really want to try to wipe out a whole generation, a whole nation. Genocide at its first. And yet in this time, the Israelites kept multiplying. The favor of God was still there, just kept going. But then, and actually as part of that, it was an interesting little story around the midwives. As the midwives, the king said, every time there's a boy going to be born, then you need to kill him. And they go, oh, we're not doing that. It's interesting that they're one of the few who are mentioned that actually trusted God. We don't know where the rest of the people were. And then the other thing is, it sounded like there was this groan. There was this groan coming from the people, a cry coming from the nation. In Exodus 2:23, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. Their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. So there was this groaning, there was this crying out, there was this, and I don't think it was necessarily prayer. I think it was probably more grumbling and complaining and just saying, oh, woe is us, because they were completely oppressed. And you know what? I don't know what that's like. I'm a middle-aged white male. I live in a place of privilege. I don't know what it's like to be oppressed. I've had my fair share of difficult times, but this is another thing. And yet there are many people in this world who live in this exact situation that many of them we never, ever hear about. But the cry came. And the midwives, they kind of rebelled a bit and they said, oh, no, we're not going to do that. And so they went back to the king and said, oh, look, these babies and women are so strong. They just, they have their babies before we can get there. And they allowed generations to continue. But they were completely under this sense of oppression. So I want you to understand that they were completely oppressed. They were pushed down. They were tried to be made silent. They were tried to get rid of. Such was their place, and the cry came. And then, so just a quote. So there's Walter Brueggemann has written a book called Delivered Out of Empire. And it's not actually a study, it's not actually a commentary on Exodus, but it's more like a study book that you can go through chapter by chapter with questions at the end. And his first chapter talks around this whole thing of that cry. It's really worth a read if you get an opportunity. And just one of the things he says is the cry not addressed to Yahweh arrived there anyway. It arrived there because Yahweh, the God of the narrative, is like a magnet to the cries of the oppressed. Isn't that great? And it's like God heard. And through the Exodus story, through the book of Exodus, we hear that God heard the cry. And then God is reminded that he made a promise and a covenant with Abraham. Exodus 3, 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. The promise of deliverance. Later in chapter 6, when God is talking to Moses, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession, for I am the Lord. Talking about that land of milk and honey, the land of promise. So there's this promise that comes from God. And of course, everything just happens and everything's sweet and happy and everything lives happily ever after. Not quite. But there is the promise of God. He has spoken. And when we've heard over the series, when God speaks, stuff happens. Right from the creation of the world, right through. When God speaks into situation, it brings change. So he starts to put in place the pathway of deliverance. A baby was born. A baby who lived in Pharaoh's house and then was exiled and had to live in Midian. A lowly baby. Sound familiar? In the same way as Jesus, in the regime of baby boys being killed, had to escape to a foreign land and a call to come back to deliver his people. But it didn't just happen, did it? It took a whole generation. It took a generation to work through some of this thing for Moses to go away for 40 years. And then he came back. And then he challenged Pharaoh. They had stubborn opposition. And the people, they would have gone, it's all very well for you to say that, mate. Where are we going? You know, we could end up being worse where we're going. The fear of losing the knownness. How often are we sitting in that situation? The wrestle and the fight of the plagues. And then the sense of the pathway had the impossible of the Red Sea experience. That as they faced the wall of water, with an army on one side, water on the other. And constantly through this, there's this call to trust the promise. Trust the promise. Trust the one who gave the promise. Will they trust in God? And as we know the story, as Moses lifts his staff out and they walk through the Red Sea and dry land, and Pharaoh's armies get squashed, drowned. So that's the story of God as being deliverer for a people. And we need to recognize that God doesn't change. He's still the deliverer of a people. And so for us, we all have a predicament that we've been in. We all have a space in our lives at some stage that we have to recognize that we are lost and alone and separated from God. And that we need someone. But God gives us a promise. He gives us a promise of new life. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that he was raised by God, then you will be saved. The promise of new life. Freedom of power over sin and death. What did Jesus say? I've come to set the captives free. If you're free, you're free indeed. I've come that you might have life and life to the full. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't always feel like that. You know, death, where is its sting? We have an eternity with God. It's the promise of God that we no longer have to live under the pain and the guilt of our sin and our shame, but we can be free from those things, that we can live in the fullness of what God has made, of what God has done. When Jesus died on that cross and he took the weight and he took the judgment of all that sin and wrongdoing and brokenness so that we might be free. And at some stage, we get the choice of making a choice, say, actually, I'm going to say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. He is the one and only that I will serve. We have that choice of saying, yes, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God and he was risen so that I can be free. We all have an opportunity to answer the promise, because he set the pathway in place, again as a baby, when Jesus came into this world as a baby. At the same time of being in that situation of possibly being killed by Herod, but God is now in the room, and we get to choose, and he offers us that gift of Jesus as he died on the cross. The pathway, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can get to the Father. No one can get to the Father except through me. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of the basics of the gospel, that it's because of the love of God. It's because of his, it talks about it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And that repentance just means turning back to God. You know, we've made into this big religious word, but it's actually just about choosing to turn towards God. And we get a choice to do that every day. We get to confess, like we did this morning, our wrongdoing. And what does God do? It says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, there is one who is faithful and just, who not only forgives you of your sin, but actually cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He makes us as if it didn't happen. That's the freedom that we can live in. That's the way that God can bring deliverance to us. But you know, the other thing I was thinking about is I was thinking about in this whole thing of deliverance and predicaments, and thinking, what about society now? I mean, I look at society now and I think, whoa, society's in a bit of a hole. There is so much brokenness. There is so much oppression. There is so much prejudice. There is so much racial tension. There is so much, and that's just in our household. But isn't it true, though? I mean, I joke. But actually, in our world, there is a cry that comes, and I want to let you know, I believe God hears the cry of our nation. I believe God hears the cry of those who have no voice. I believe God hears the cry, and what does God do? I believe God gives a promise that there is the ability to be free. And you know, sometimes the freedom of that doesn't come, similarly like the Israelites, doesn't come by completely taking you out of the situation and everything is sweet and happy straight away. Sometimes it takes a generation. Sometimes it takes time. Will you trust God with it? Will you trust God that even though we see so much of the degradation, we see so much of the oppression, so much of the negativeness of life, so much of the death of life, I want to say you can believe and trust in the living God that he hears the cry of a broken people and he has a pathway. And you know what that pathway is? He sends a man and a woman. He sends us. Talks in Scripture about the manifest wisdom of God being made through the church to the principalities and powers. There's a sense that we are called as church to be the voice of life and light in the dark places. God sends us. God sends us as the redeemed people of God. God sends us because as we say we are free, we are then to be that freedom to those. So that means we are to be the voice of those who have no voice. We are to speak the promise of freedom and deliverance into our world. We are the ones, and we need to trust that whatever little seed that we sow, that God will prevail. And we live in the space, don't we, of the, yes, we know it's all true and God has won the final victory and God has done all he's needed to on the cross and all the rest of it, and yet we're still in this place that it hasn't quite happened yet. So we live in that generation of walking through that pathway, trusting that God will prevail and in the end God will come through. And you know, sometimes it's easy for us to lose hope. But I want to tell you this morning, don't lose hope. God hears the cry of your heart. He hears the cry of a nation. He hears the cry of the oppressed and the broken and the dying. And he says, I will free you. There will be a time when freedom comes. And it has a name, and his name is Jesus. So I guess just as I close, I want to, I guess, just bring a sense of challenge. And say, is there something that you feel that you are either oppressed about or it's just something that has power over you? And as I was praying about this morning, I felt the, and again, it may mean nothing, but it may mean something to someone. I just felt the whole sense of those people who feel like they are, the sense of having a broken heart has power over them and they are no longer able to free themselves. Well, you can't free yourself. It's about Jesus. And I just want to say that God hears that cry. And he wants to free you from a sense of being brokenhearted. And it could be out of a relationship of marriage. It could be a broken relationship in family. It could be a broken relationship at work. It could be any numbers of things. But I just want to say, God hears your cry this morning. He hears the cry of the brokenhearted. Because he is our deliverer. He is the one who sets us free. He doesn't always take us out of one situation and make it completely better. But what he does is, it doesn't have power over you any longer so that you can stand in the place that you are, knowing in the full knowledge that he loves you, that you are free. I feel like there are people who've had words spoken over them from parents and from loved ones. And they have this power over us. And I want to say, God can't and isn't going to change the situation from history, but he can take the power away from those things. We sung this morning about breaking the chains. These are some of the chains that hold us. Things people have said against us. The words of parents are so strong. Our family of origin, how we have been brought up and it has this power over us unless we give it to God and give him the freedom to take it. So I want to encourage you, and we're just going to have just a very brief time of silence. And I guess, Charlotte, if you want to come up as well. But we're just going to have a time of just quiet, and just if there's anything, I want you to give it to God. Say, God, I feel like this is an area, this is a space. This is my predicament. Can you teach me? Can you show me? Can you free me? So that I can be free. Let's just pause. Heavenly Father, we want to say that we give you our predicament. We give you our place. We give you our worries, our concerns, the things that seem to have power over us. And we ask, would you come and would you free us now? In Jesus' precious name. Would you come and breathe life in us? Holy Spirit, would you come and would you fill us? Would you allow us to walk in a freedom that these things don't have power over us, so that we can be light and life to the darkness around us, so that we can speak the words of deliverance to those that we rub shoulders with, that we would have the words of life for those in our worlds. We ask that you would come and you would free us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I just say, if there's something that's truly triggered you and you're still kind of fighting with it in your head, just pop up afterwards and let's stand together and we'd love just to pray with you. We've got other things going on this morning, but don't leave this morning if there's something that's truly just kind of triggered in you that you feel like actually there's a couple of things or there's something I'd just love someone to stand in prayer with. We'd love to do that at the end of the service. So, thank you.
Shall we stand? sing Your Love Has Freed.
Your love has freed us. We're free indeed. Spoken to our pain, revealing hope again. Your love has freed.
Hello there, and happy birthday, All Saints. We always celebrate the Sunday after a birthday in Children's Church, and so during the week it was All Saints Day, and so we have decided to celebrate with you. Normally we celebrate all by ourselves, but we thought we'd bring the joy to you guys today. All right, we're going to sing Happy Birthday to All Saints.